sitting in a lot at the ballroom dance. Now, like a bonfire, burning flame that will never
tuned to 106.1 FM WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. Please note that the views expressed on this program are those of the individuals who speak them and not necessarily those of Portsmouth Community Radio, its Board of Trustees, members, volunteers, or underwriters. This is Steve Carrigan, and welcome to Local Folk. That song right there is an indicator of who my very special guest is tonight. I have to admit, I've seen him at in various places, but always by himself. And I have to say that I'm probably the first or the last, or I'm not exactly sure. That's the first time that I've heard recorded music by him, and I thought it was really awesome, and I'm looking forward to introducing him. But first, I have my very special friend here today, and that is the Portsmouth Scot, Chris Vaughn. He's going to give us our weather report. How are you doing? First of all, how are you doing today, Chris?
Mostly excellent, young Stephen.
Mostly sunny?
Today, I'm sunny disposition. Yeah, but I wouldn't say it's sunny outside. Hi, Portsmouth listeners. How's it going? Well, weather forecast.
Yeah, let's have it, man.
Right, here we have it. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Lows 28 degrees Fahrenheit. Tuesday, partly mixed sunny. A high of 42 degrees Fahrenheit. Tuesday night, a wee chance of snow, and the low is going to be about 32 degrees Fahrenheit, maybe 50% chance of snow. Wednesday, McNasty. We get a mix of McRain and McSnow, 100% chance of that, the high 39 degrees Fahrenheit. Wednesday night, again, 100% snow sleet, a McLow of 33 degrees Fahrenheit. Thursday.
That sounds McMiserable.
That is McMiserable. The whole week looks McMiserable, actually.
How are we going to stay happy?
Well, listening to this program will make everybody happy.
Well, there you go. That's a very good point.
Tonight is going to be mostly cloudy with a low around 28 degrees with a calm wee McWind there. And Tuesday, partly sunny.
Unbelievable. All right, enough of that weather. You know, I mean, they kept saying, my phone, AccuWeather, it's not very accurate. They should rename it. Hey, that song, in case the rest of you did not know who that was, that is my guest. His name is Dan Blakesley, and he's sort of, in the Portsmouth area, I consider him, he's a little bit like a Paul Bunyan or a Johnny Appleseed or something like
that.
That's
amazing.
He's a little bit like a legend. You know, he's a legend. He goes around playing music and making art and putting it all over the place. And it seems like he's just everywhere in town. He's playing all the time, and I finally have got to have him on the show. It seems like you're the guy that's living it the way that people imagine that they would live their lives as some sort of folk musician slash artist. What do you think of that?
It's crazy. It's like it's very different from when I started. I feel like. I feel like this is kind of the direction I've always wanted to go in, and now that I've been able to finally concentrate on music for the past like couple of years, I've been able to go on many more adventures and sort of like kind of go in the direction that I thought I was going to go like a decade ago, but I was also. Focused on artwork too.
Okay.
So it's like I'm an artist and musician, and that's how I make my living. And one of the hard parts was like I would get deep into artwork, you know, in certain seasons of the year, and then the music would fall behind, and I wouldn't be able to like concentrate on one or the other. So I decided after about a decade of doing both, like to focus on doing pretty much solely music. Even though I'm still doing some artwork, and I'm doing posters and some album covers for bands and things like that, but I'm trying to really like hone in on making the music side as successful as I can.
So in a way, we're kind of kindred spirits because I went to art school, for example.
No
I worked
way.
For 7 years. After school, I worked 7 years for a glass artist.
Wow.
Yeah. I wasn't even doing any music back then, and now I do music and whatever else. So that's...
Yeah.
What's back up, though? Did you go to art school or something? Or
Yeah. I went to... So this was the thing. I grew up on a farm in Maine.
Okay.
And my... You know, my parents really wanted me to do whatever I wanted.
Really?
Like in the way of what would make you happy.
Like, they said, what's going to make you happy?
Choose a career that would make you happy. And it was like, you know... I either wanted to go to cooking school, music school, or art school.
Yeah.
And then I actually...
And they said, no.
No. I think my sophomore, junior year, I was trying to figure out what one to do. And then I saw a piece of artwork of Wentworth by the Sea by Don Gorvet, local artist. And that just knocked me out in the way of like, I really want to go to art school.
No
like
kidding.
After seeing this one piece in particular. So I went to art school.
What art school?
Down in Baltimore.
Yeah.
The Maryland Institute College of Art.
Okay.
And so while I was down there, I got so sick of making artwork that I started to play music.
When you say making artwork, were you always an illustrator or did you start off doing all kinds of
things? You know what? I wanted to, like, from the beginning of my studies, freshman year to senior year, I tried to do every single thing that was possible at art school. So when I come out, I would know how to do many more things. Because, you know, I got to do woodworking, sculpting, printmaking, photography, drawing, painting, everything. I really wanted to be diverse.
And were you playing music as well at the time?
Yeah.
The guitar?
Yep.
Were you singing as well?
Yeah.
Did you all of that even before when you were in high school, correct?
Well, I started singing in high school. I mean, I've always sung a lot. Like,
did you sing like in choir, for example? Or did you sing at home around the piano? Did your parents sing?
In the car. Yeah, my dad's a singer.
Oh, he is?
Yep.
Is he a singer around here?
Yeah, well, he just, he's starting to play out more. He's been really working hard over at the shipyard, or they're making him work hard. They're not giving him too much time to sing? Get back to doing his music, but he's starting to play out more.
Really? Do you ever play with him?
Yeah, I've played with him a few times.
No kidding.
Yep.
Is it awesome?
It is awesome. He's a jazz piano player.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe it's a fiddle or something, but no, it's jazz piano.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of my biggest inspirations growing up is Saturday mornings he would have the band over and they'd rehearse and then they'd go play, gigs throughout the week. And so every Saturday it's hear them playing in the music room. We had musical instruments in every room.
Okay, so this is why when you're like, gosh, I'm not sure if I want to do music or cook.
Yeah.
Your dad was a farmer as well, you said?
Yep.
Okay, so you were farm. Yep. So you
Well,
making
it was
food.
More my mom handled most of the farm,
farm
duties
aspect,
and
farm
my
things.
And my brothers.
Oh, okay. But, maybe you're taking that food and cooking it.
Yeah.
And then you're making music. And then your dad's making music, and then you're making art, and then you're like, I'm not sure for what all of these. So it wasn't like they were like coming home from accounting or whatever else,
right,
and then you're
right,
like, I
right.
think I want to do these things. They were fine with all that. You were immersed in a culture of that growing up.
Yeah.
And your brother thankfully owns that tea company, right? The Blue
White Heron. Yep.
All right. So you guys. So that's kind of like cooking.
Yeah, oh man, he is an amazing cook. He made some weird stuff in high school, but he's good now.
Hey, you got to start with the weird stuff sometimes.
True.
Oh my God. I remember this one I made, Gouda Surprise. You don't even want to know about that. You can tell what the chicken was and what the Gouda was. So every bite that you took, it was a surprise. It was terrible. You started writing songs. When did you start? When was the first song that you wrote?
I think I started out on piano in fifth to seventh grade.
Yeah.
And then I stopped doing that. I was still playing through high school, playing some piano stuff, but I sort of didn't start writing my first songs on the guitar until I was at art school.
Until you were at art school.
Yep. And they were all about missing home and real life experiences, things going on in Baltimore. And
do you remember any of them?
Yeah. Oh, I remember all of them. I don't know how to play them right now. and nor would I want to.
Yeah. Nope. You should play something for us though right now.
I'll play one of the newest ones that's going to go on the upcoming album.
Okay, so when you play this awesome, then we can realize that the oldest one was kind of like the opposite.
Right.
All right, go for it. Get Dan Blakesley right
guitar?
Here, live in the studio. Well, what I'm going to do is turn that guitar up. Try it now.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Nice.
Finally, the hills I wander across the unknown I ponder. I've got the time for riddling and rhyme, reading road signs, singing my line. I'll navigate to over yonder. Every state of spell being, I'll be trying my odds battling gods. This fire could use a knife, so could half of my clothes. I'll be wading in a river, sleeping in dreams. Add a little more coal, get a little more steam. Songs to bring me home, all the way back home. I'm out here getting dusty. My truth is keeping it clean. I got your picture in my wallet and my canteen. But I gotta move these wagon wheels. The more they move, the better it feels. I'll build a tunnel to your heart. Every letter I send, girl, I'm letting you know. To pack up your things, I'll be picking you up when the telephone rings. Songs to bring me home, all the way back home.
That song was called Ode. Oh, wait. No, wait. Hold on, wait.
Okay. I'm a-waiting.
That song is called Picture in My Wallet, or Songs to Bring Me Home. It's I tattooed it on my boot because I wanted to tattoo my boot for quite a while. And so I tattooed a song that talks about going out there on the road and seeing the world, but never forgetting about home. So I thought that was kind of appropriate.
And so I should let my listeners know that Dan has taken his boot off, and I can see tattooed onto it. Oh, the words to this song.
Yep.
Hey, man, you ever do a tattoo for anybody?
I have. I don't do them that much anymore.
Maybe you design them and other people put them on there, or do you you have to go all the way?
I usually stick to doing album covers and posters.
On human flesh?
Right. There's a lot of pressure in doing tattoos, you know. It's going to be on there for a long time.
Yeah, I know, you know. Yeah, that's pretty tough. So, I mean, by the way, that song was fantastic.
Oh,
yeah,
thank you.
That was great, beautiful song.
Oh, thanks, yeah. Thanks.
You like it. You like it.
It's, you know what? It's like, it's one of the ones that means the most to me. You know what I mean? In the way of like, I don't know. I like, all my songs are from personal experiences or things I've been through, but there's certain ones that sort of like that I hold even more dear than the others, you know what I mean, for different reasons. So
how long ago did you write that song? Just oh, wait a minute.
I think I have it written on my boot. This one, well, it says I wrote it. I didn't finish it until kind of recently, but it says 07-17-12. So
tell me about your
July
song.
7th.
Wow. It says
2012.
Oh, 2012. Oh, okay. I thought 07. I thought maybe it was 07.
No.
What is your process? What is your music writing is it slow?
It's incredibly slow. It's only because I let the songs come to me. I've never forced one of my songs.
Okay.
Like, I'm not that kind of songwriter that can be like, okay, it's Sunday morning at 9:30. Once a week, I get up and I write songs at 9:30.
Okay.
It's like, no, they sort of like, you know, I'll be driving down the road, I'll be like, gotta pull over in this ditch
okay.
to write this,
yeah.
and this yeah. song.
And that's
you know,
the way
at
it
the
works.
Grocery store, all right. Just sit yourself in the vegetable aisle for like 5 minutes and just write it down.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So when
I mean,
it comes...
I don't break out my guitar in the grocery store.
Well, no,
if they would let me, I would.
You're like... you're next to... You're like, I've got the word that rhymes with orange.
There is no word except blorange. You know that guy, the blorange.
So you let them come to you, so you never like grabbing a thesaurus.
Nope. And I like to come up with my own rhymes. I don't like to go to rhyming.com or anything.
Do they have that? They do have. They
yeah,
must have.
Of course they do. Of course they do.
They have
but
anything.
It's like, I don't like to. The only thing that I'll consult is a dictionary if I feel like I've misspelled something.
Okay.
Or want to know the deep meaning of something.
The deep meaning.
Instead of vague meaning.
Or to make sure that you're using the word correctly.
Right. Yeah, right.
My daughter gave me a nice little present. It's a rhyming book dictionary. But I hardly look at it.
Yeah, right.
I glance at it, but you know.
Oh, you know what I just realized? I'm sorry, I forgot to tell people what was going on in the community calendar.
Hey! That's very important.
I know. Well, first of all, I'll give my addition to the community calendar for right now.
All right.
Now, and then you can give one of your own.
All right. That sounds good.
Let's see. The Portsmouth Rotary Club Family Food Drive will take place on Saturday, February 23rd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Shaw's Supermarket on Woodbury Ave in Portsmouth. This drive will benefit the Salvation Army Food Pantry, the Seacoast Family Food Pantry, and Crossroads House. They are all located in Portsmouth. Items needed include cash donations, non-perishable goods, and hygiene items. All right. So that's very important. Saturday, February 23rd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Shaw's Supermarket on Woodbury Ave in Portsmouth. Okay, what else is going on in the community? Please, tell us.
All right, well, there's a guy named Dan Blakesley that has a show coming up at the Blue Mermaid on March 29th. It's a Friday evening. I haven't played in the area for a little bit, and by then, because I'm going down to Texas for about 15 days or so. So it'll be my first show local in a month.
I would love to talk to you about touring, but I'd love you to also give us an example of what we might expect to hear at this Blue Mermaid show.
All right, I'll do it.
All righty.
I'm going to do it. All right. So this song, you know, I'm going to do a kind of another another new one. This one so I went on this tour back in October in the shape of a jack-o'-lantern. And it's 31 shows that make the face of a jack-o'-lantern on a map of New England. I'll explain later. There's not enough time to do it right now. It takes forever.
Okay.
But anyway, so when I was on that tour, you know, I started writing a song while I was there. And this one in particular, oh, you know what? It's so funny. I'm deciding to change songs. So skip that.
Okay.
This song, I usually only write about my own experiences. You know, I very seldom write a fictional song.
Okay.
But I overheard this guy talking about how he was gifted a horse by this woman that he was in love with. A white horse named Valentino. And so this is the one I was actually going to play, but I... Anyway, so this song's called Valentino. It's
Valentino.
A true story, not of my own, but this guy told me his story in a bar, and I freaked out. So here we go.
All right, let's hear it.
I'm an Alabama college boy. I took a break from the books. I met me a girl coming with a ride. That pretty little feet, my heart she took. It was at the Canadian border back in 1985. She gave to me a pure white horse. This is why I am alive, Valentino, my lightning steed. Valentino, my friend indeed. Why the heck won't you leave? One day on the plane, the heat was high. I went off the saddle. He bucked and he jumped, warning me. He got bit by a snake with the sound of a rat. Valentino, my lightning steed. Valentino, my friend indeed. What help won't you lead? And with my companion slowly dying, after 2 long years he did succumb to the snake bite venom. I'm getting all my denim, headed back to the south, gonna use my thumb. Valentino, my lightning steed. Valentino, my friend indeed. What a help won't you lead?
Yeah.
Yeah, Valentino, baby.
Yeah.
Question for you.
I'm ready.
All right. I think, you know, in my estimation, that your artwork and your style of music playing have similar sensibilities.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. It's almost like when you're talking and when you're playing and when you're singing, you certainly sing in a different manner than you talk, almost like you're singing in character or something like that.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
That,
no, I sort of like, I always like whatever the song is about or the lyrics, I sort of like relive it in my head,
mm-hmm.
you know, as I'm playing it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's why like, you know, certain performers you'll see, it's like, you know, they get very serious when they play, but then in between they're, you know, goofing around on stage.
It's a different kind of thing. Yeah. So, you know, so it's so when you're talking, it's you're not performing, so to speak, but when
right,
you're
right, right, right.
So it's that difference. Like, do you consider yourself to be a theatrical person?
Come check me out in October. That's when I'm at my most theatrical state as Dr. Well, Gasp.
I know that you do. I know that you do these shows in Dr. Gasp. Okay, and that is that's a Halloween. You like Halloween a lot?
Oh man, I do.
Woo-hoo! Maybe that wasn't
it's
a very
a
good. It's a problem. Hey, that's a pretty cool thing. Okay, so, well, you know, I mean, so it almost is. Like, so you do have a character then that's called Dr. Gasp that's over the top, I'm going to guess?
Yep. Well, the thing is, like, I had to make a separation between myself and Dr. Gasp.
Yeah,
because
okay.
People would come to my shows in, like, July and ask for songs about candy corn.
Oh,
and I'm
I
like,
see.
Well, you know, I gotta, that's a different guy completely, entirely. Cause the song, the genres do not mix.
They don't
like
mix.
It's like, if you could pick two worse, like, I mean, like a really bad pairing of musical styling, mm-hmm. It'd be me and Dr. Gasp in the same room.
Okay. That'd be totally, that'd be very bad, news. But what you're playing right now is you.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay. See, yeah, and I love it. And your style also, you're visually, you know, you have a look. You know, nobody can see it on the radio, but you have some artwork on your guitar.
I think they can.
And you got boots with tattoos of lyrics on them. You have a giant octopus in your guitar and a little rose. Is that the Rose of Texas? No, that would be yellow.
No. I play a lot in the subways of Boston, and this girl on Valentine's Day tipped me a rose.
You play in the... Okay, so what does your typical week look like? Are you only... Okay, so you're not doing the art. You're only doing music.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you do?
Like at this moment, this particular 2013 that we're in, well, I took time off from performing to record in the studio.
Yes.
And so from recording in the studio, you know, I don't get as much performance time. And so I started, I've been playing in the subway since 1995 down in Boston. And so I thought, hey, anytime I don't have a show above ground, I'm going to play underground.
So what does your typical week look like then? You're like, Tuesday is subway day, or, you know, what is it?
It totally depends. Depends on, like tonight I was thinking of going in the subway, but I'm like, Monday night. You know, I'll probably get down there at 9:30. Not that great of a night to go down the subway. I could do it for fun.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
But you go down there and busk, and that's okay.
I have a lot of artwork to do, so I figured, hey, I'll do artwork tonight. And then tomorrow I'm going down to the recording studio.
Do you mostly busk, or do you mostly have gigs morning, afternoon? Do you teach people how to play guitar? What is
No,
it?
No, I've never given lessons. It's only if I have like a gig in a club.
Yeah.
Like on like, you know, most nights that I, you know, most like Mondays and Tuesdays I don't have shows.
Okay.
So generally those would be nights that I can go down the subway. And then, you know, sometimes I'll have like a Thursday off and it's like, you know, playing the subway.
But do you try to play? I mean, obviously you try to play as many nights as possible.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
But do you have a normal Wednesday, Thursday, Friday gig, Saturday, Sunday?
No.
I
don't do, like, I try to stay away from, unless I'm doing a specific residency somewhere.
Yeah.
I try to stay away from doing those, you know, once a week gigs. Only because I kind of... You know, though, there will be nights to get a paycheck, you know, that I could count on and you know, but the thing is, it's like, I'd rather
that's no
make
good
myself
for you.
A little more, I guess,
I
need a dictionary right now to think of the word I'm trying to come up with.
Diverse.
Yeah.
Diverse.
And open to, you know, this way my schedule is a little more open and I can go on tour and things like that. So
I mean, yeah, so do you...
Good job, Chris.
Yeah, see,
you,
there you go.
The reports,
this is Scottish thesaurus, McDiverse.
McDiverse.
Hey, so, okay, so what you're looking to do, so you're sort of making music bold to, you know, your idea of, you know, being out there and being free?
Yeah. I mean, for years, I never did touring. And I've been like, And I've been like just crazy about it since last year. Last year I did a lot. It's not that it's not how far I went, because I like I did a lot, most of it in New England. But this year I'm really looking forward to playing for the first time ever South by Southwest, this tour. I mean this festival that happens down in Austin, Texas, and I'm going down to play that with Dawes and Deer Tick and Joe Fletcher. And some of my favorites, and I was like totally blown away that I got that show. So I'm headed down to Texas.
Well, how did you get it? Did somebody invite you, or did?
Yeah.
Or do you make calls?
Yeah, no. This one I got invited to do, but I'm hopefully gonna try to hop on some more bills while I'm down there, because I'm gonna be down there for a good number of days.
Okay, and for then, weeks, right?
Yeah, a couple weeks. And then I'm doing another tour that I'm doing is with my band, the Calabash Club, the guys that are on
that was good.
The Tatnik Tales album.
Yeah.
And we're doing that in June. And then I'm doing a European tour in September.
Really? How do you even arrange a European tour?
I don't
tour?
Even know.
Who does
thing?
This? Did somebody contact
know.
You and say, hey, you want to go to Europe?
No, well, it's this friend of mine, Janae Halstead, who is a tremendous musician, like one of my top favorites, and her and I got talking one day about going on tour, and you know, she knows that I've been wanting to go to Europe, and she's been there a bunch of times, and she goes, how about let's play Europe? I'm like, yes!
Well, there you
made
go.
Made me so happy.
Where are you going, do you know?
Only Scotland.
Only Scotland? <No. laughs>
That's perfect.
Everywhere but Scotland.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. I think we're going to England, Ireland, and I think Scotland, but I think that's pretty much, you know.
So going to England, the British
like
Isles.
I'd rather like concentrate on a few countries,
yeah,
than go to like eight of them and have it like a whirlwind tour where I don't get to like appreciate right. the culture of each place. You know, that's really important to me.
Yeah, but to get it straight though, basically you've always wanted to go to Europe on tour, and you're talking to somebody who you love as a musician.
Yep.
Right. And they say, hey, I've got a great idea. Why don't we go on tour in Europe? And you're like, all right.
It blew my mind. I gotta say.
Is this the way things work for you often?
No, it's not that easy. Oh, man. Oh, no. Oh, God. Man, literally every day is a struggle. But it's like, at the end, I'm really happy that 2012 was the best year I've ever had musically. You know, and that it's sort of like fed me for years to come. Like I'm on such a cloud right now. I have very little in my wallet, but it's like, but I have so much there that I've like overflowing with excitement for things to come.
So you're high for it.
Yeah,
right,
absolutely.
Now.
Yep.
And that's good. And so you sort of eschew, you know, a weekly gig or a schedule or something like that in favor of being high.
Doing
what you're doing.
Yep.
And so you're living, and so your dad said, I want you to do whatever makes you happy. And that's what you're doing.
Thank goodness. I knew a lot of kids at art school that their parents were like, what are you doing? You're throwing your life away doing artwork. But it's like, you know, you know, there are some artists who can succeed, like financially, things like that. And it's like, but then there's others too that succeed in other ways that you know, can be equally as like gratifying. You know what I mean? I mean, I'd like to be in the middle.
Yeah.
Someday.
I mean, but do you ever get yourself a regular job or whatever? You ever get some crap job or something just to, you know, put a few shekels together?
No, know what? There's been many times that I was going to do it, and then something would come through. And so I've been doing this primarily for like 16 years.
16 years.
Yep.
That's pretty darn good.
Lots of posters.
That's a lot of posters.
That's a lot of posters.
You could have a retrospective with 16 years.
I've done it.
Oh, really?
True.
Well, you need a retro.
I want to do it in Portsmouth at the community center.
I think you should do it at the Portsmouth Museum of Art.
All right.
Okay. No, perfect. I don't know. I have no connections
wow,
there
that
whatsoever.
Did that just fall into my lap? No.
No, it's just an idea.
And it's a dang good idea.
It's a hey, thanks. No, yeah, no, I'm an ideas man.
I did do a poster retrospective of, 100 of the 100 show posters, through the year, starting from when I very first began up until now, and by now I have like 600 or more, and that I've done all hand drawn, and hopefully one of these years gonna put a book out. But I've been wanting to do a traveling poster exhibition.
A traveling poster exposition. Well, they do traveling shows.
Oh yeah.
I think you should get
Rolling
to do that.
Thunder, Bob Dylan, 1975. Man, I wish I was alive to see that one. That seems like some nutty stuff. I love it.
Your work could be on loan. On loan just, to museums across America.
It would be better than having it in storage.
Yeah, well, yeah. For it. Oh, yeah, you're not kidding. Yeah.
When you're in Austin, you should be able to buy some new cowboy boots so you can tattoo more lyrics on.
I know. I was thinking, I can't wait to get some Pearl Snap shirts. At I hope they have Goodwill and Salvation Army down there, because I don't think I can afford the $150 shirts.
No, I really don't think so.
That's not what I'm going for anyway.
No, you don't. Yeah, I don't know. You don't need that.
But
anyways,
I need a new set of boots, that's for sure.
Yeah, you need to, because how else are you going to write another song?
I know. Yeah. Well, I have room on this other boot, but I thought one is plenty.
For the next one. Pair of legs as well, you get a four songs out.
In one of my pictures, I have four sets of legs, so there is,
there's hope.
That's a whole album right there.
Hey, well, yeah, I think you better play something for us.
All right, sure.
All right, right on. Dan Blakeslee here on Local Folk.
Do you want me to play a song about performing in the subway?
That would be great.
I think that makes sense, right?
I think that makes big time sense.
Yeah,
please.
And this one is on the Tatnik Tales album, but I'm going to play it for you live right now.
Do you ever play this while you're playing in the subway?
Oh, yeah.
All right, man.
Yep.
This is cool.
Absolutely. So this song is a true story of why I stopped playing in the subway for 5 years. But I'm back at it now. So this one is called On the Watch.
Last night I played deep in the tunnels of town, bear witness my trade. If you took the reins underground, the smoke and the signal gave me a sign far from the whispering pine, somewhere between darkness and doom. I feel someone watching me. through the gate came an Indian tall as an oak, just a wandering drunk. I thought as he saw me and spoke, your song, your fortune too. Fury in my eyes it drew. Then across the tracks came the boys in blue, which left no one watching me.
That one.
Nice.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I'll sort of like tell you about the scene of that song. Like, I was playing in Copley Station in 2005 in February at midnight, and I'd only made $10 after a long time of playing down there. It was just, there was no one on the platform. It was 15 below zero that night. It was frigid. And I just needed to make a little more, so I just kept playing. And all of a sudden, I smelled someone before I saw them. And I was like, uh-oh, bad sign. It smelled like Listerine and perfume and rubber tires. And so in walks this 7-foot-tall guy, drunk. And he pointed to my guitar case and he said, give me your money. And I said, no. And so before he actually destroyed me, the cops saw him from across the track and chased him into the tunnel.
Oh, really?
So it was kind of like,
wow,
that frightened me. I was like, you know what? I'm going to lay off this subway plane for a little bit.
Yeah.
Now I'm more cautious, you know. I've had some things happen since, but you know, I'm more aware of everything that's going around me, because you have to be.
Yeah.
Even though I like to get into my songs, like in the subway, but I'm like, you know what? I know who everyone is on the platform.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you just got to be aware of all that stuff.
Scary stuff.
Yeah. But there's also been amazing things that have happened down there. Like, absolutely. And so I'm really like, you know, it's a bittersweet thing, but I'm definitely glad that I've done it all this time, you know.
So. You like that environment then? There's something appealing.
There is, sometimes.
Yeah.
At times. Yep.
But I guess you could just go busk on the street around here or something like that.
But it's wintertime.
Oh, yes, that's true.
I'll let you know.
Although
it does get cold in the subway tunnel, I'll let you know from experience. I was going to say past experience, but...
No, but it is. It's a lot warmer anyways.
Well, but sometimes it can be like 35, 40 degrees down there, depending.
Oh, really?
Like,
that's pretty cold.
Yeah.
Do you busk a lot?
Yep.
Okay, is that the majority of the time?
No. Majority of the time is playing various like clubs all over New England and...
Clubs all over
tour,
New England?
That kind of thing, but...
So, like, for example, when you did the, I mean, I know that you said it was going to be a long explanation, but when you went on a tour shaped like a pumpkin, and I'm guessing that this is like, a connect the dots.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You're one of the only people who's gotten it. Like,
really?
It's like I try to explain to people, like, what do you mean?
I get it. You know, but did you?
Like one of the eyes, like three shows are in, Vermont, which make one of the eyes.
Yeah.
Three shows were in New Hampshire, which make another eye.
Yeah.
And then three were in Massachusetts that make the nose. And then a bunch were in Connecticut that made the grin.
Yes.
And then the circumference was all of New England.
So did you do them in that order?
Yep.
You did.
That's what made it extra crazy.
That is
idiotic tour. Idiotic tour. Don't ever do it. Anyone in the audience that's listening.
Well,
don't
this
do
is
a
the
tour in the shape of a jack-o'-lantern.
Well, did you make the jack-o'-lantern and then say, I'm going to find a gig in each one of these places
in
sequential order?
It was completely as a joke. I was hanging out with a friend of mine. I played this art gallery in Harvard Square, and the guy that that put on the show, we were like joking after the show, and he knows of my Halloween thing. He goes, and I said, oh, it'd be funny if I did a tour in the shape of a jack-o'-lantern. He goes, let's map it out right now. It was totally a joke. This is like 5 years ago, and this year I was like, hey, it's the 10th anniversary of me doing this Dr. Gasp thing. I should probably do that tour. And I'm so happy that I did it.
Yeah.
But I got to say, that was the roughest tour I've ever been on in my entire life.
There could be worse shapes, so.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
That's true.
True.
An octopus.
Yeah.
Elephant tours.
Any number of things could be a lot worse than a jack-o'-lantern, especially since you do a Halloween show. But
that's
your only character show, though, correct?
Or, yeah.
Okay, you know, so it's either Dr. Gasp.
Yep.
Or it's you.
Correct.
Just yourself. That's cool. Say, hey, so are you going for fame? You want to be famous?
That has never been a thing that I've ever sought out or gone looking for. I just want to be able to like get my music out there further.
Yeah.
I've never thought like I don't necessarily like need to crave to be in the spotlight.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe Spotlight magazine. Woo!
Yeah. There you go. Right.
But I really, you know, I'm doing this because I love doing it. I'm very passionate about it. And you know, if I can find some sort of success doing what I love to do, it's like I'm all for it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need it to be, I don't know.
So you're looking to pay the bills.
Yeah.
And beyond, you know.
And hopefully beyond, because I got to tell you, it's been, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side, but it's like I'd like to get like halfway to the other side or something. I just want to get onto the middle ground.
The middle ground.
That's what I'm looking for. I don't need like a Ferrari. I'd be happy with like a little Toyota Corolla.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
A good reliable car.
Yeah, maybe like Ferrari for one day just to see if it's all it's cracked up to be. But I'd rather.
It's probably a kick.
Yeah. I don't need like a big luxurious house. I just want a place where I just want to be comfortable.
Yeah, you just want to be comfortable,
you know what I mean?
and whatever else you want to do.
Like, not be jaded because I didn't get on MTV or anything like that. You know what I mean? It's like,
so you don't feel crushed that you're not
part
of that world right now. Or yep. So. How old are you actually?
Take a guess.
I think you're 33. How old are
you? Nope.
Guess
again.
28.
No, I'm 41.
You're 41.
Yep.
Okay. So, and you've made it this far playing music and making art.
Yep.
So that's a good thing. I would say that's a substantial level of success right there. That's in my estimation.
Yeah. I feel very like very satisfied with how you know, there's been like so many rough patches that I didn't think I'd be able to get out of, but
yeah.
I was so thankful to like get beyond that and like, you know, like have it way in the background that it's like I know there's going to be more struggles ahead, but there's also, you know, for all those struggles there's always like really like rewarding things, you know, I'll be playing in the subway and someone will miss like 15 trains just to hear me for a couple hours, and it's the most amazing thing. It blows my mind.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And mm-hmm. and I'm very, you know, someone they'll come up to me and they'll be like, you know, I wish I had something to give. I said, but you're listening. That is like, you know, there's a lot of people that just walk right by you, so I'm very thankful.
I think Stevie would agree as well that one of the best feelings is if you sing or play something and somebody comes up
deeply
to you and
listens.
Says, that was great. You know, or you bring a smile to somebody's face. That's what makes it worthwhile.
Oh, yeah,
I think,
completely.
For sure, you know?
Yep.
I mean, for sure. Well, I mean, that's just the quandary right there, that you're like, I'm not looking for fame and fortune, but somebody listening is the other part of the equation.
Oh, yeah.
And they're very important.
Yep. Very much.
Well, All right. I guess we got to get going. Actually, yeah. I'll leave you with one thing, though. So, you know, if you were to, as you know, as I explained earlier, you know, I mean, the aim of my show is for people who may be listening.
Yeah.
To take some kind of action, you know, I mean, is there something that you would tell people that were starting, that wanted to get involved in the music, or that were starting out, or that had put it away and wanted to pull it back out again? I don't know, whatever.
Do it because you're passionate about it and not thinking about, just go based on your feelings. You know what I mean? It's like, I think I could have been doing, you know, something else completely different. I don't know what I would have even imagined doing right now, but I'm very thankful to be able to be on this earth right now and appreciate all that's around me and really never ever take any of it for granted. Yes. And I never have, so.
Thank you.
Do what you love.
Very good. Hey, we're going to play, I think it's song number 5.
Yeah, this one is called Wizard Nor a King, and it's funny that this is being played now because this song is about doing what you love and never giving up.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, Dan, it's been a real pleasure having you on Local Folk.
Same here. Yep. Good to hang out with you both.
Yeah, very good. Up next is Under the Radar. We will see you next week.
Bob.